Heavenly Father, I pray that you please be with us here this morning. And I pray that the words I speak this morning in this message are acceptable in your sight. In your name, amen. And so the message today and the gospel reading is going to be talking about faith and doubt. So I found this interesting story here. A defendant was on trial for murder. There was strong evidence indicating guilt, but there was no corpse. In the defense's closing statement, the lawyer, knowing his client probably would be convicted, resorted to a trick. "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have a surprise for you all," the lawyer said as he looked at his watch. "Within 1 minute, the person presumed dead in this case will walk into this courtroom." He looked toward the courtroom door. The jurors, somewhat stunned, all looked on eagerly. A minute passed, nothing happened. Finally, the lawyer said, "Actually, I made up the previous statement, but you all looked on with anticipation. Therefore, I put to you that you have a reasonable doubt in this case as to whether anyone was killed and insist that you return a verdict of not guilty." The jury, clearly confused, retired to deliberate. A few minutes later, the jury returned and pronounced a verdict of guilty. "But how?" inquired the lawyer. "You must have had some doubt. I saw all of you stare at the door." The jury foreman replied, "Oh, we looked, but your client didn't." And he was busted. Doubt. Listen to this event from Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 14. "And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, 'What are you arguing about with them?' And someone from the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able.' And Jesus answered them, 'O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me.' And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible for one who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, 'I believe, help my unbelief.' And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again.' And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' And he said to them, 'This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer.'" All right, so we got another event here of Jesus doing a miracle. And so just to recap this here, the players in this event are a defiant demon in a boy, a desperate father, arguing scribes, an astonished crowd, despairing disciples, and of course, Jesus. So these are all the players in this event that we are looking at here this morning. So it says Jesus wasn't here first. Well, where was he? Jesus was with, he took Peter, James, and John with him. They were up on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus transformed into his holiness, and Peter, James, and John were the inner circle of disciples. So the four of them were gone when this father brought his son to be healed. So there was nine disciples there when they got there, when the father got there. Now remember, Jesus had given the disciples the authority to cast out demons. And they have done that. But they couldn't do it with this boy. This demon was especially defiant. And then everyone sees Jesus coming, and the desperate father told Jesus about his son and that the disciples couldn't do it and that his son was possessed by this demon that had taken over this poor boy's life. So remember last week, if you were here, Jesus had a conversation with a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile woman, who had faith. And now we are seeing another desperate parent having a conversation with Jesus. So last week it was a desperate mother. This week we got a desperate father. And there are three statements from the passage I just read to you, those 16 verses, that I want to touch on here this morning. The first statement, when Jesus said this, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" These are, of course, rhetorical questions by Jesus. He knows the answers to both of them. But Jesus is a little disappointed here and a little frustrated with his disciples and all the other people that are gathered around. See, the disciples were utterly powerless against this demon, even though they've cast out demons already because Jesus gave them the authority to do so. But this time, Jesus wasn't there, and everything seemed to fall apart for the disciples. You see, the disciples have no problem having full faith and trust when Jesus is around and everything is going well. But when he's not there with them physically, doubt begins to creep in. Why? The answer is because they are relying on themselves instead of Jesus. They are relying on what they can do instead of what Jesus can do and does. So the question for you this morning, isn't this true of us as well? Like the disciples, we can fall into the temptation of relying on ourselves instead of relying on Jesus. We rely on our own reason and strength. We can rely on our own bank account and our job rather than relying on Jesus. And even though we continue to sin and doubt, remember this, Jesus came for unbelievers like you and I were at one time, and he gave us faith. That's why Jesus came. In Luther's Small Catechism, he put it this way: "I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. And because God has given us this gift of faith, even when we have those doubts, the faith is still there, thanks to the Holy Spirit." Even when those doubts creep in. So the second statement, when Jesus said, "If you can," Again, another rhetorical question from Jesus. And he's responding to the father who comes up to him, this desperate father saying, "If Jesus, if you can do anything, do something. Help my son out." He was struggling, this father was, with his faith. He's doubting. He's struggling. He sees his child in pain. Are there times easier to believe than others? Are there times when it is harder to believe? On a scale from 1 to 10, where this morning would you rate your faith? With 1 being extremely weak, 10 being super strong. Where would you rate your faith? Do you realize even if you are at a 1, you still have faith? It's still there because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Faith is not dependent on you. Thank goodness for that, right? You know, I know for me, and maybe you can identify with this, when things are going well in life, it's easier to believe and have a strong faith. I'm admitting that. Anybody else want to admit that? You know, when family's all getting along, job is going great, bank account is growing, everyone's healthy, it's easy to have this strong faith. But it's a little bit harder having that strong faith when things are going bad in life. Maybe a friend or family member or you have been diagnosed with cancer, Alzheimer's, heart disease. Somebody in your family has died. Lose your job. The bills are piling up. Your child is being bullied at school. Relationship problems with a friend or maybe a family member. All these things keep piling up. All these trials that we go through can take a toll on us, and it can weaken our faith. And Satan will use those tough times and trials in our lives to get us to doubt and doubt and doubt and doubt and doubt. This father, this desperate father is crying out with faith, but was also struggling because he was seeing his son being tormented. And I think, parents, we can maybe relate to this desperate father here. He had probably heard, you know, that the disciples have been driving out demons, but they can't do it to his son. Not only could they not, but there's this crowd that's gathering around gawking at his son who's being tormented. And then there's the teachers of the law, the scribes. They're arguing with the disciples, which are there. They were no help. And by the time Jesus arrives, this desperate father is at the end of his rope. But the faith is still there. Even though he feels helpless, desperate, frustrated, he realizes Jesus is his only hope. Just like the mother from last week, who Jesus called a dog, she still had faith and realized Jesus was her only hope. This father realizes that Jesus is his only hope. So a message for you here this morning. When you are at the end of your rope, Jesus is your only hope. You like that rhyme? You can just imagine, you can just picture this father crying out to Jesus, can't you? Jesus, if you can do anything, please do something. Have you ever had that prayer with God before? Please, God, for the love of God, do something, help me. And Jesus responds with, all things are possible for those who believe. You know, this doesn't mean that we treat prayer like it's some kind of magic formula. You know, God isn't a vending machine that we just go to when we need something and he's going to dispense it out and give it to us. It may happen that way sometimes, but make no mistake about it. Prayer is a gift. God hears every single prayer, and God answers every single prayer. The problem is, for us, when that prayer isn't answered the way we want or in the time frame we want it in, that doubt can creep in. Just like it did with this father, the disciples. And the father gives an amazing response to Jesus when Jesus said, all things are possible for those who believe. And actually, it's a beautiful prayer of confession and a plea for help, which is my third and final statement here this morning. When this desperate father says to Jesus, I believe, help my unbelief. Let's say that together. I believe, help my unbelief. Amen.